You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. I thought we were going to have a yeah, but with Smalls yesterday. I was going to come into the show, yeah, but here's what happened. I thought you were going to be stuck all day. Apple Store.
Oh, my gosh.
We all saw on social media, M. Smallman. What happened to you yesterday? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, so I had an issue with a device. I needed to go to the Apple Store, and I forgot how miserable that is. Everybody at Apple is so lovely. They are so great at their jobs. They're very calm. They're very patient. But you usually have to go to the Genius Bar under a state of panic because something is wrong with one of your devices.
Yeah.
And you usually leave there having spent a lot of time there, is very anxiety inducing, and you spend a lot of money. So I put it out on social media. Is going to the Apple Store worse than going to the DMV? Because when you go to the DMV, it is annoying, but you're kind of there for one thing only. You can sit, read a book, chill out. Then it's your turn. And yeah, it takes a long time, but bing, bang, boom, transaction. I think the Apple Store might be worse.
I don't know about that. The only problem with the Apple Store versus the DMV debate is at the DMV, usually you're going and there's only one thing that they can help you with. At the Apple Store, while you're getting help or while you're waiting at the Genius Bar, all these other gadgets that you can get into and see how they might help you simplify your life. Like, at least there is a pleasant distraction at the Apple Store. You ain't got that at the DMV.
Mm.
At the DMV, everybody is on edge.
I will say, I'm going to make maybe the boldest statement I've ever made in our time doing this show.
Oh, no.
I can't wait to hear this one.
DMV, underrated.
What?
Underrated. The DMV is underrated.
Can we fine you for that? That's the worst thing you've ever said.
Well, it is considered the worst place on earth. I don't believe it's the worst place on earth.
Why?
I think it's a little bit better than the worst place on earth. The last time I went to
the post office during the holidays is close to the seventh circle of hell.
It's really bad.
It's close to the seventh circle of hell.
But that's literally my point, that most people don't do what you just did, which I appreciate you doing, CeCe, because most people put the DMV as the lowest thing on the food chain.
Well,
because
the DMV is bad.
But it's not as bad as what you just said. It's not as bad as sitting in traffic. That's worse.
No, the DMV is worse. The DMV, because again, I've got something that can entertain me. Like, I can listen to whatever music I'm listening to. If somebody's in the car, I can have a conversation. Like, and you're in the DMV, like, you're supposed to sit there and be quiet and all this other stuff, and you're literally waiting for one thing, and you're absolutely miserable. At least if I'm in traffic, I can make phone calls, I can do business, I can manage things. I can't do all of that in the DMV.
Last time I went there, I had a laptop, I was good to go.
That's what I mean. You can bring a book, you can listen to your music, you can be on social media. When you go to the Apple Store, you're in panic mode. You're like, can you save this? My screen is cracked. I went there yesterday because my headphones were broken. And you're going to leave there with a big bill. At least at the DMV, you know you're going to pay for, you know, whatever the fee is, and then you're out. At the Apple Store, yeah, there's a lot of things to distract you. Just put it on your tab. It's an expensive place to go.
Yeah, but you can spend hours in the DMV.
I spent hours at the Apple Store.
888-SAY-ESPN at UnsportsESPN on social media if you want to chime in. What is the worst place to go? Non-life and death, non-serious stuff, right? The worst place to go, because Small said the Apple Store, and as she said, has nothing to do with Apple. It just has it has to do with the people there. CeCe's saying a post office on a holiday.
Well, the DMV.
Slash DMV.
Like, both of them.
Also, CeCe, isn't
equal parts, awful.
Isn't it so on brand that Evan would not mind the DMV?
Yeah,
I'm alone. I got my laptop. I could do work. Oh, it's heaven. It's heaven. I don't even care if it's delayed.
Evan's just hanging out in the DMV. Sir, do you need help?
No,
I just like being here.
No.
I go there and volunteer. What? You need something with your license? No, just a nice place to sit.
Oh, my
God. They had a good outlet near me. I was able to charge my computer.
Unless you got a hookup at the DMV, it is god-awful. Like, it is the worst.
Good power outlet.
You got to know somebody at the DMV. Like, I will literally drive 45 minutes out of my way because I know somebody that works at this specific DMV to help me out.
Like, hey, what are you guys doing today? I'm meeting up with a friend for lunch, going to workout class. I'm going to the DMV. Is something wrong with your life? No, it's just a good place to hang. Just going to meet some people at the DMV today. DMV. Underrated. Just throwing that
no
out there.
No one ever. Other than Evan Cohen.
The one person who says that. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Brock Purdy certainly went from underrated. Some people now think overrated over here to my left. And where are we now with the guy that's taken a team to a Super Bowl? Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, was on First Take yesterday and gave his thoughts as to the state of Brock Purdy.
When you look at what Brock Purdy was able to do, Brock Purdy has separated himself from Dak Prescott. Brock Purdy has separated himself from Tua Tagovailoa. Brock Purdy has separated himself from guys like Kirk Cousins, from guys like Justin Herbert. He was asked in the most pressurized moment to be the best he could possibly be. And Brock Purdy won the football game. Down 17. We always ask our best players to show up in the most important times. We can't continue to knock the Josh Allens, knock the Lamar Jacksons, knock the Dak Prescotts, and not praise Brock Purdy for doing the very thing we ask all of them to do. Does this mean that he's in the top three of quarterback talents, that I believe he's an elite quarterback? No, but he better than all them.
So there is Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst on First Take yesterday, 10 a.m. Eastern, of course, on ESPN. I've thought about something a lot over the last 24 hours in prepping for this show. Mm. I've thought a lot about what Smalls has said all year about where he was drafted. Mm-hmm. And I never bought into that until right now. I never thought, Smalls, you were wrong about factoring in the draft. I just never understood it as it pertains to this. And I keep coming back to this. If he was drafted where Trey Lance was, he'd be living up to the expectations in such a short period of time. Because he was drafted 262 overall, we don't believe it. And you've been saying that all year, and I'm totally bought into that. Like, the way I look at it, he's asked to do a job. He does it better than anyone could do it for his team. Simple as that.
Yeah, he unfortunately is living in a situation where a lot of people will always view him as Mr. Irrelevant. And because the numbers in the postseason might not pop out at you, or some of the plays might not pop out at you, people want to negate what he's doing. But what he's doing is taking his team to a Super Bowl. Even when he's had games in the playoffs that aren't that great, versus Green Bay, he found a way at the end to put his team in a position to win. This past weekend, same thing with Detroit, down 17. He had the composure that he needed to get his team to come from behind and to win the game. We saw that he's accurate. He knows how to keep those around him calm. He's a threat with his legs now. I think Brock Purdy has shown us that he's far more than Mr. Irrelevant. If the situation was reversed over the weekend and Jared Goff came back from a 17-point deficit and led his team to the Super Bowl, we'd say, number one pick. This is what Jared Goff is supposed to do. But Brock Purdy is Mr. Irrelevant, and a lot of people are never going to believe that he's that guy, even if he wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess my Brock Purdy position has less to do with him being the last pick overall and more to do with me actually witnessing the control when it comes to the quarterback experiment in San Francisco, which is Jimmy Garoppolo. I saw Jimmy Garoppolo come a fourth quarter away from winning the Super Bowl with a Kyle Shanahan coach 49ers team, a team that still has 10 players that played in that Super Bowl. And then I look at Brock Purdy in comparison to the other quarterbacks that we consider elite or consider really, really good. And I ask myself, how much do the 49ers ask him to do relative to what other quarterbacks that are considered elite are asked to do? Think about this. Brock Purdy has 6 all-pro players around him. 6. There ain't but 11 players on offense. He got 6 all-pros around him. Trent Williams, all-pro. Brandon Ayuk, all-pro. Christian McCaffrey, all-pro, and probably going to win Offensive Player of the Year. Deebo Samuel, all-pro. Kyle Juszczyk, all-pro. George Kittle, all-pro. How many quarterbacks have that luxury? I'll answer that question for you. None of them do. And so I guess my whole position with Brock Purdy is this. I get that he was great when his team needed him to be great down the stretch of playoff games. Now, was he the reason why the team needed to have a comeback in the divisional round and in the championship round? Yes. But nevertheless, he completed the comeback. I will give him credit for that. But my question still is whether or not Brock Purdy can do what Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do 4 years ago, what Josh Allen couldn't do, what Lamar Jackson couldn't do, what Tua couldn't do this year. I guess that's what's framing how I look at Brock Purdy. And if and when he does win the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, all of that changes. But until that point, I don't know that I'm going to move off of my position right now. He is a good quarterback. Nobody can take that away from him. But is he going to be considered elite? Is he going to be that guy? I don't know that I can say that. I don't know that we can say that definitively, that he is a guy that is going to be a top five to seven player at the position moving forward.
Yeah, and your analysis is based on watching the games. I totally understand that, and analyzing the games. I just believe personally that the initial smallest point from 3-4 weeks into the season of where he is drafted frames the conversation around those that are watching casually, not those that are watching with an eye like you have, obviously, to break down every single play of every single game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Even a casual sports fan knows that the 49ers were in the Super Bowl in 2019 and Jimmy Garoppolo was their quarterback. And everybody knocked Jimmy Garoppolo back then. This is not revisionist history. People knocked Jimmy Garoppolo because they say, well, we don't know if the natural talent is there. Mm-hmm. We don't see the gaudy passing numbers. Mm-hmm. But all the guy does is win. That's when the whole debate came down about quarterback wins. And Jimmy Garoppolo was front and center when it came to quarterback wins. Well, Kyle Shanahan ended that debate when he invested 3 first-round draft picks to take Trey Lance. He said what we got from Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't good enough. And I guess my question is, with as good a season as Brock Purdy is putting together and for this team getting back to the Super Bowl, if the result ends up being the same in a couple of weeks as it was 4 years ago, is this going to be a guy that the San Francisco 49ers look at as their long-term solution at the quarterback position if he's not flanked with the talent that's on that team right now?
I think the answer is yes. I also think that the better comp in my mind is more Matt Ryan than it is Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo never had an MVP-like season. And in 2016, when Matt Ryan won the MVP, his numbers were not that dissimilar. Under Kyle Shanahan, by the way, as his offensive coordinator, not that dissimilar. Here's the thing. Brock Purdy's in year two as Mr. Irrelevant. In games that he has played, the 21 starts, his team is 17 wins and 4 losses. He has 44 touchdowns and 15 interceptions in total in the 25 games, and his team is 4-1 in the playoffs with him as the quarterback, and they're 4-0 when he starts and finishes a game. I'm not saying that it's exclusively because of him. I'm saying he's asked to do a job, and he does it better than almost anyone in the league at what the job is. It's not a better talent. He doesn't have a higher upside. He is doing his – I'm going to go Belichick. He's doing his job.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It becomes a question of value over replacement. And after next season, the 49ers are going to have to make a decision on what we're going to pay this dude, because that's going to inform what ends up happening and how much talent they can keep around him. So how much of what we're seeing is Brock, and how much of what we're seeing is the supporting cast and the coaching staff with the X's and O's. And that's why I bring in a comparison to other elite quarterbacks that are asked to do more. That's why I almost jumped out of my chair when you said that Brock Purdy, you know, impersonated Lamar Jackson better than Lamar Jackson did in the conference championship weekend. Lamar Jackson is asked to do more. Lamar Jackson is viewed as a better player. Brock Purdy is not, but there are people out there that would say, give me Brock Purdy over Lamar Jackson, because this guy wins, and he wins in the postseason.
Well, that's where I would.
And so, I guess my whole point would be, let me see you be different in this spot as opposed to a quarterback that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch thought they could easily replace in Jimmy Garoppolo. A quarterback that everybody touted because of the win-loss record. Let me see you do better than that. Let me see you win a championship against the greatest quarterback of all time, or certainly a guy that's trending in that direction, before I'm willing to jump out of the window and say that this guy is fundamentally different than anything we've seen in Kyle Shanahan's offenses with the 49ers.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Telephone number to join the show. We're going to get your phone calls in coming up. Brock Purdy is the guy, or right now a guy, plus worst place on earth. Non-life or death, non-serious stuff. DMV, post office during the holiday, an electronics store with a million people in there sitting in traffic. What is the worst place on earth? We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
I'm going to make maybe the boldest statement I've ever made in our time doing this show.
Oh, no.
I can't wait to hear this one.
DMV, underrated.
What?
Underrated. I don't believe it's the worst place on earth.
Why?
I think it's a little bit better than the worst place on earth.
Isn't it so on brand that Evan would not mind the DMV?
Yeah,
that is so on brand.
I'm alone. I'm alone. I got my laptop. I could do work. Oh, it's heaven. No issue with anything just said. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Poll question is up at Unsports ESPN. Brock Purdy is the guy or a guy, obviously, as he's heading into the Super Bowl with the Niners against the Kansas City Chiefs. Guy's had a heck of a record. His team's had a heck of a record in games he's played in. 44 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. And I understand what we do for a living, and we are contributing to this. But sometimes I do wish we could just say, you know what? He's asked to do a job. He does it really well. And, like, why do we have to compare him to everybody else? But if I...
That's what we do.
I know. But if that actually happens, we wouldn't be here today. So that's the problem with that argument. But he does feel like that guy of... Why do we have to react one way or another when he's in year two as Mr. Irrelevant? Like, this is an amazing start to a career. He has more playoff wins in his first 2 years than Brady did. Think about that. In his first, because remember, as a starter, Brady didn't make the playoffs his second year as a starter, and then obviously, you know, won two Super Bowls after that. Yeah. Matt in Atlantic City watching on ESPN2. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, good morning, Evan, CeCe, and Michelle. So I kind of, with the DMV and the electronics store is kind of 50-50 for me. I had some bad experiences at T-Mobile. I waited almost an hour and 45 minutes just to get a new phone. All I needed was a new phone, but it took me an hour and 45 minutes. It was ridiculous. The DMV, I had some bad experience at the DMV. So it's kind of 50-50 on that. So Brock Purdy, we saw when Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, and Debo Samuel, all three were out. Brock Purdy's numbers went down. He threw more interceptions. His QBR was down. I think he's a guy. You can kind of compare him to Jalen Hurts in a way, because when Lane Johnson was out, A.J. Brown was out, you saw Jalen Hurts digress too. So I think the Super Bowl, I got to give him props. He went from Mr. Irrelevant to the Super Bowl in his second year. I think we got to give Brock Purdy his kudos. I think if he wins the Super Bowl, it's going to put him above a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. I wouldn't say he's great like Mahomes, Allen, or Burrow, because they do it with minimal supporting cast. I think you need to put quarterbacks like Purdy and Hurts in a certain system. So that's what I would say. But as far as the DMV and electronics store, I got to go with Michelle on this one. The electronics store, definitely anxiety. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for the call. I mean, let's. I'm not comparing him to Burrow, but I mean, Burrow has pretty ridiculous receivers. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I mean, let's be fair on that.
And we saw Patrick Mahomes at times this season.
I don't think your mic is on somehow. Is it broken there? Let's see. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Did you guys hear that?
Right. Yeah.
Did you guys hear me?
I can hear you because I'm sitting right next to you, Smalls.
The Apple Store has cut off Smalls'
right?
mic.
They're like,
wow.
You're
coming after electronics?
You're not going to disparage us.
Exactly.
Nope, we still can't hear.
We don't hear you.
There is something going on with the mic. But here's what I will say, and I get exactly where Matt is coming from. With the Brock Purdy of it all, I think it's fascinating what happens if he does actually win the Super Bowl. Because then there are a lot of quarterbacks that we would deem top 10 players at the position where Purdy would have to leapfrog. Like, I mean, we're having these conversations around Dak Prescott, around Jalen Hurts, around Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you're probably talking about Brock Purdy being in front of those guys. I mean, you don't look at it from a talent standpoint and say he's better, but when you couple the winning with the competitive greatness that we've seen in the last two playoff wins and assuming that that's going to be on display on the biggest stage that the sport has to offer, then all of a sudden you have to start asking the question, you know, beyond just the talent, where do you have to place this guy? Is he in the C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert territory? Does he rival those guys?
Well, he's above them in my mind. If you're playing out the hypothetical,
I'm playing
of winning
out the
it,
hypothetical. Yeah.
I may even put him above a lot of these guys. I would put him above a lot of the guys you mentioned in terms of even if he doesn't win.
You're not putting him above Josh Allen. You're not putting him above Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Pat Mahomes. You're just not going to do that.
Well, for me, I like what he does is exactly what I want from my quarterback. Get the guys the ball. Don't turn the ball over and do what's asked of you. Don't try to do too much. I love this guy.
Yeah, you love him because he costs $900,000. But if he keeps doing that, eventually he's going to be a lot more expensive, yeah. And you're not going to be able to afford all those other parts. So you have to ask the question, you know, is it the tail wagging the dog, or is Brock Purdy actually the one that's the driving force, that's the catalyst behind his team going on a Super Bowl run?
My guesstimation is it evolves from they're helping him out to him helping them out, ultimately. That's how I look at it, because we've seen quarterbacks like this before and play this way and then evolve into the one, the tractor trailer thing. They're, you know,
we've seen Tom Brady do it.
Yeah.
Who else have we seen do it?
Well, I think that early on, Jalen Hurts a little bit. I think early on, Ben Roethlisberger, year one, was basically not even throwing the football and was winning games and then also became the guy after that. Thomas in West Virginia, listening on 94.1. What's up, Thomas?
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay. Couple points about Brock Purdy. He's a good quarterback. I was very impressed with him the other night. I think we also have to consider what happens when a quarterback plays for Kyle Shanahan. Like you guys have said, you know, all of the weapons around him. But, you know, I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Put Brock Purdy on the Falcons, and are we talking about him for the MVP? I think so much of it has to do with the coach and the pieces around him. But then to, you know, now we're at this point where, oh, well, he won a Super Bowl, so he's got to be ahead of this person. Now, San Francisco has a heck of a defense, so I'm not trying to compare it to that 2000 Ravens team, but, I mean, don't forget, Trent Dilfer is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
I don't think it's fair to compare him. Like, we don't have to compare him to Mahomes, and thanks for the phone call, but we also don't have to compare him to Trent Dilfer, who was fine and won a Super Bowl, but Brock Purdy is
more productive.
Let's pick
the other Ravens quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, well, Joe Flacco was very good.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. I mean, but you could look to upgrade from Joe Flacco, which the Ravens eventually did, and they found Lamar Jackson, a guy that's poised to win his second MVP in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, I guess that's the question that we have to start asking ourselves is, because the San Francisco 49ers, after next season, would have to pay Brock Purdy, I think this game is consequential in terms of informing whether or not he's going to be their guy long term. I get it. The quarterback win-loss record is not to be ignored. The playoff wins are not to be ignored. But I also saw Jimmy Garoppolo with this same coach, with a similar cast, get to the Super Bowl and come a quarter away from winning it. Can Brock Purdy show us something different against a similar opponent, a guy in Patrick Mahomes, who Josh Allen couldn't beat, who Lamar Jackson couldn't beat, who Tua couldn't beat, and the rest of the league seemingly can't beat once we get to the playoffs? And keep in mind, San Francisco is the favorite going into this game right now.
Smalls, we got your mic fixed?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, we don't think so. All right, we will get that fixed coming up. But first, CeCe has this from Granger.
Yes. For the ones who get it done, like Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This game is over, and you can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
If you find out the Chiefs are going to score 17 points, you feel like you got that thing wrapped up, and you scored 10. But the star quarterback who's going to hoist his next hollow MVP award, I don't want to hear any more about this Hall of Fame crap. How about a couple playoff wins?
Hollow MVP from Fortenbaugh. Wow. 106.7 The Wolf with the highlights there. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. So the Lamar Jackson conversation, guys, as we would expect, continues after the loss on Sunday to Kansas City. He was bad. The three of us were very critical of him yesterday, rightfully so. Stephen A. Smith on First Take had this to say about Lamar's performance.
Ladies and gentlemen, with all due respect, it was a choke job. Let's just call it what it is. What is the definition of a choke job? It's doing what you always do, what you're accustomed to doing until the moment arrives, and then you don't. That is the epitome. That is the definition of what we're talking about here. But in the end, the face of this franchise is Lamar Jackson. And when he's gone in his six postseason games, he's 2-4. And what are we looking at here, okay? We're looking at 9 total touchdowns, 9 total turnovers, 26 sacks. That's what we're seeing from Lamar Jackson, which we don't see at any other time. This is what people are saying. That's what we saw. And it's just a damn shame that we have to sit up here this morning and say it.
Well, so hold on. He's saying it's a choke job, but mm-hmm. then also outlining that this is consistently what Lamar Jackson does in the postseason. Well, he was saying
so then he always chokes.
Exactly. So is it a choke job?
Well, yes, because basically
that's the norm.
It is, because the way I would look at it would be, what do you do in the regular season? Can I expect that from you in the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar does not do that.
No.
Okay. So I did some homework yesterday and some things because I wanted to fairly put Lamar with his peers. His peers, meaning those who have done what he's done, which means MVP, which is an unbelievable accomplishment. And he has done it once, and we assume he has a great chance to do it twice. 19 quarterbacks since 1980, including Lamar Jackson, have won the MVP. Every single one of them has been to a Super Bowl, but him. The last quarterback to win an MVP that never went to a Super Bowl in his career was Brian Sipe with the Cleveland Browns in 1980. That was the year that I was born. That was before the two of you were born. Okay, that was the last time a quarterback won an MVP and did not go to a Super Bowl. Ken Anderson, Joe Theismann, Dan Marino, John Elway, Boomer Esiason, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Rich Gannon, Peyton Manning, Steve McNair, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar. Every single multi-MVP winner in football history has won a title. Jim Brown pre-Super Bowl, but Jim Brown, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. In many ways, Lamar Jackson's individual accomplishments, combined with the lack of overall team success, put him as a one of one. His career is not nearly over yet. I am not writing him off for the opportunity to do this,
But based on those that we would deem to be his peers, which would be MVP winners at his position and multi-MVP winners potentially here, nobody has failed in the postseason like Lamar Jackson has.
So with all that being said, do you think we've given him enough criticism for not being able to get past the Chiefs this past weekend?
Well, I think we're in the process of doing so currently. I think we're 2 days after the fact, and I think he deserves the critique. CC said yesterday that if you're going to split up the blame pie, he deserves the biggest slice of it.
No doubt.
Stephen A. has said he choked. We said yesterday, if you look at what he's done in the regular season as his averages, he's always below that in the postseason. I think we are being critical of him. I think we are pointing out in a complimentary way who his peers are, right? His peers are not guys that are not, all due respect to him about the disrespect, Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson, who won Super Bowls, all credit to them. Those are not Lamar Jackson's peers. They're just not, right? The peers are the people that I just mentioned, and Lamar has not had the team success like those guys have had.
No, he hasn't. And probably the most disturbing part about his playoff performances is that in all of the seasons where he's been the quarterback and they've been in the postseason, and he started postseason games, the offense's lowest point total output for the season came in the playoffs. Mm. Like, that's across three different offensive coordinators, Marty Morningwig, Greg Roman, and now Todd Monken. So, I mean, there's something to what you're saying. Lamar Jackson has to absolutely be better relative to what he's accomplished from an individual accolade standpoint, right? Like, at some point, the competitive greatness has to kick in. We need you to be at your best when your best is required. And too often in the postseason, Lamar falls short. Now, we gave him a lot of credit a couple of weeks ago when he had a 4-touchdown performance against the Houston Texans. They kicked it on in the second half. But we also acknowledge context around that matters. You're talking about a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. What can you do when you're competing against your peers? And Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid would be the peers of Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. Well, you came up small. And that's inexcusable. So Lamar Jackson absolutely has to wear this failure because it was all set up for him to be successful. I mean, he was a favorite. He was at home. He had a rest advantage because the Chiefs played on Sunday in divisional round. The Ravens played on Saturday in the divisional round. You had what we thought was the better defense. Mm-hmm. You had what we thought was the better run game. Mm-hmm. And all of those things were non-factors in terms of dictating the complexion of what we saw on Sunday in Baltimore. And I guess if you're the MVP, I don't understand how you allow the game to get that out of hand without making game-changing plays to put momentum back in your favor. Now, a part of that is your coaches positioning you to have success. The fact that you only had 6 runs from your running backs is a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, Justice Hill had 3 carries. Gus Edwards had 3 carries. That's inexcusable. I mean, the Ravens had a 35-game streak of rushing for 100 yards or more, and that was snapped on Sunday. Like to get out of character is both on the head coach, the offensive coordinator, but also on the quarterback. And so when we start talking about postseason and your legacy, Lamar has to wear this because his postseason failures are every bit as much a part of his legacy as the MVP he already has and the MVP we're assuming he's going to get in a few days.
Yeah, I don't know why they abandoned the run game. That's still a head scratcher for me. But as Lamar Jackson is concerned, the scheme is one thing, but the turnovers are on him. I mean, throwing into triple coverage there in the fourth quarter for that interception, that's on Lamar. That's a decision by Lamar. And I just expect more from him. And I wonder, guys, if he is going to be able to get over that hump, if he is going to continue to be this one for one, as you pointed out, Evan, who has the individual awards, has the regular season success, and isn't able to get over that hump and win a title. Looking at the AFC and the quarterback talent in the AFC and just the teams that are not only emerging now, but that are on the way up in the AFC, this might have been his best shot to get it done. Yes, it's still Patrick Mahomes and it's still the Kansas City Chiefs, but this was a more vulnerable version of them than we have seen in quite some time. And obviously they're still the gatekeepers and they're not going anywhere. But I think about his own division, how tough it's going to be for him to win that division moving forward, how tough it's going to be for him to win in the playoffs moving forward. And I just wonder if this might have been his opportunity and he missed it.
Well, I will say that I think this is probably the best opportunity he had to be the reason they went to the Super Bowl. Because my guesstimation, what's going to happen this offseason is I bet you we're going to hear about the Baltimore Ravens and Derrick Henry. or the Baltimore Ravens and Josh Jacobs if he's available, the Baltimore Ravens and Saquon Barkley, any free agent running backs, that we're going to look at the offense and maybe alterations around the offense where, oh, well, he didn't do it when he was the guy. They altered the offense a little bit to give it to other people. It doesn't matter. It literally, at that point, it doesn't matter. But when talking about his best chance, this was the best chance for him to be the main reason and share almost none of the credit, even though he should, for going to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to have to make it where, you know what, Lamar's a complimentary piece, as an amazing complimentary piece, but not dissimilar to Josh Allen, where Josh Allen's the best player on their offense, but they found, hey, you know what, if we run the ball a little bit more, if we give the ball to the tight end a little bit more, you know, maybe Josh Allen's even going to be better. I think that's what's going to happen in Baltimore. I think they're going to go out and probably spend some money on a running back, which I would never advise doing. But you can't have it where you even think we can't run the ball in a game like that on Sunday. Cold weather, rainy, low scoring. Like, that's made for running the football. And for some reason, that didn't happen on Sunday. But again, when you look at Lamar Jackson, it's a compliment to compare him to only MVPs. But when you compare him to only MVPs at his position, everyone else has done something he hasn't done, which is go to a Super Bowl. Coming up, CC's got his power rankings. So we know the two teams in the Super Bowl. Who else is going to try to get there next year of the playoff teams this year? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. It's time for Canty's NFL Power Rankings.
All right, CC, we know 1-2 in the NFL right now with Kansas City and San Francisco. There are other teams. Our power rankings today?
There are other teams. So my power rankings today are teams that obviously are no longer in it, but that we're projecting to have a chance to make a Super Bowl in 2024. So teams that could be in Super Bowl 59.
Okay.
We're projecting. They're no longer in it, but we're projecting that they could be there this next season coming up. All right, so let's kick this thing off. Let's start in Southern California, shall we?
Javante? Number five.
The LA Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, come on down. They just hired Horowitz, the director of personnel from the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be the general manager. So if it's good enough for John Harbaugh, it should be good enough for Jim Harbaugh. Now you're going to have synergy between the head coach and the guy that's picking the groceries. You already have a top five talent at the quarterback position. They've got a lot of cap decisions that they've got to make this offseason, but I trust that Jim Harbaugh can identify the pieces that he needs to take Justin Herbert to the next level. And if you can get that talent from Herbert to translate into team success, then all of a sudden this team could potentially make a deep playoff run and get to the Super Bowl. We've seen Jim Harbaugh get his teams consistently to conference championship game weekend with above average quarterback play. He's never had a quarterback in the NFL like Justin Herbert. And so that's why I think this team has the potential to go on a Super Bowl run next season. Next.
Number four.
The Green Bay Packers. I love the Green Bay Packers skill position players. They're all young. I mean, you go with Kraft, Musgrove, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and of course, Romeo Dobbs. And they're all growing with Jordan Love. This guy was top 10 in passer rating, top 10 in QBR. I mean, since week 11, there was no hotter quarterback in all of football. The guy won a playoff game, so he's showing you he can do it in the postseason. I just don't think that he'll have to worry about doing it from a wild card standpoint. Next year, he'll be able to host a home playoff game. That's how bullish I am on the Green Bay Packers' trajectory. They still got some stuff they got to figure out on the defensive side of the ball, but they got some good pieces, including Jaire Alexander and Kenny Clark. So the Green Bay Packers, they're building, and I like the way they're trending. I also like their head coach, Matt LaFleur, leaning into his identity as a play caller, running the football more, especially when you get to December and January football, something that didn't necessarily happen when Aaron Rodgers was there the last couple of years, but now you're starting to see Matt LaFleur come into his own as a head coach at the same time that his quarterback is coming to his own in Jordan Love. So I love where the Green Bay Packers are going, no pun intended. Next.
Number three.
The Houston Texans. Listen, that man C.J. Stroud, is special, He is in the conversation to be top five at the position right now. I got him right on the outside looking in, but he is just that good. A rookie and a head coach, rookie quarterback, and you're talking about them winning a playoff game. This is a team that's going to be formidable. I think that they're going to put a stranglehold on the AFC South, and there's no telling where this team can go. Again, this is an upstart group. They're a year early, but they've got a lot of great pieces. They've got a really good offensive line that's underrated. They're going to have weapons. They're going to flank C.J. Stroud with more players on the perimeter that can be difference makers. And defensively, they've got the most important positions taken care of. Edge pass rusher, Will Anderson, and in corner, Derek Stingley III. So they've got all of the ingredients that it takes to compete at a championship level. Watch out for the Houston Texans, and watch out for C.J. Stroud. This dude is special. It's not a matter of if he'll win an MVP or if he'll win a Super Bowl. It's just a matter of when. Next.
Number two.
The Buffalo Bills. Now, it's going to get a lot harder for the Buffalo Bills because Josh Allen's cap number almost triples. He goes from accounting for $18 million against their cap this year to $47 million next year. It's a lot of money. So you're going to lose some key pieces. There's some veteran players that you're looking at and saying, we don't know what they're going to do. Von Miller, what does his future look like? Matt Milano coming off an injury, what does his future look like? Trey White, what does his future look like? Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. All of those guys' futures are uncertain in Buffalo. We'll have to see what happens. But Josh Allen is still a singular talent at the quarterback position. You're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 250 pounds, and can run like a baby deer. Like, he is absolutely special. Not to mention he's got a howitzer attached to his shoulder. You'd like to see more chemistry between him and Steph Diggs, but they do have plenty of weapons for Josh to spread the ball around to. And the thing that was a pleasant surprise in this postseason, them activating the run game with James Cook in that offensive line. They ran 180 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're seeing that's a Super Bowl caliber defense. So Buffalo, if they continue to lean into that aspect of their identity, this is a football team that can do some damage next year. Next.
Number one.
Of course, there can only be one top spot, and it's got to go to my Baltimore Ravens. My Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, we're presuming is going to win his second MVP in a matter of days, but this is a team that had an elite defense, and it's been elite going back to 2022 when they traded for Roquan Smith at the deadline. I don't see them falling off. They do need to add some pieces on, in the back end of that defense in the secondary. That'll look to improve. Those receivers, Zay Flowers, you know, those guys are going to get another year older. And so I think that that's going to help them. And so the Baltimore Ravens are moving in the right direction. And then year two in this offensive system for Lamar Jackson with Todd Monken, I think they will develop more of a rapport, more of a working relationship, and they'll be able to identify more of the things that Lamar likes, but most importantly, be able to find answers for Lamar against certain defenses, especially against the blitz. That was one of the things that plagued them. So I think they'll figure that aspect of it out. And the Baltimore Ravens will have some room to work because their quarterback is only accounting for $32 million on their salary cap next year. So the Baltimore Ravens are my top team to look out for to win a Super Bowl in 2024. So of the teams that I listed, we're not listing the Super Bowl teams, my top five teams that can win a Super Bowl in 2024. The Baltimore Ravens, number one, Buffalo Bills, two, Houston Texans, three, Green Bay Packers, four, LA Chargers, five. Smalls, you're my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
Two teams I would like to bring to the conversation, CC. Number one, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Waiting for that one.
Joe Burrow is coming back. He's going to be healthy. He has proven he can beat Patrick Mahomes and he can go to a Super Bowl. How do you feel about putting them into the mix here?
I like the Cincinnati Bengals. Don't love the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think T. Higgins is going to be there next year. And I think that defensive side of the ball is about to go through, you know, a retooling of sorts. So I like the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow is that man, but I also can't ignore Joe Burrow. In the 4 years he's been in the NFL, he's only finished the season healthy twice.
Yes, that's a problem. And let's say in the AFC North, what about the Browns? If they could get consistent quarterback play, it feels like they'll be right there too.
Man, with Deshaun Watson taking up, what, $60 million in cap?
It's a lot of money.
Nah.
Chris in Orlando on Sirius XM Channel 80. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm a Bears fan, so I'll take any other quarterback that you've talked about this morning. I don't really care. I'll just take anybody. but I will say the worst place on earth to go is HR.
Oh my God, what a good answer. What a good answer.
Hold on, what were you going to say, Chris?
Chris?
I think we lost Chris.
Oh, we lost him. Oh, no, go ahead. Explain the answer.
I'm there. Well, whether you get called in because you don't know why you got called in, it's more mental than anything else. And if you're going in because you have a problem, that means work sucks. And so you've got to deal with that. So HR, for me, is just the worst place to be.
That is such a great answer. I remember I got a call once from HR, and I was like, oh, my God, what did I do? And they're like, what do you mean? We had a question for you about something. I was like, so I didn't do anything wrong? They're like, no, why would you think you did? I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting a call from HR. I'm sorry. Like, no offense to you. It doesn't matter. Even if it's like, hey, we have an issue with your date of birth on your, the time card or whatever the hell it is. It doesn't matter. You get a call from HR, you immediately, even if you're a perfect angel, think you did something wrong.
So I have an interesting HR story. I got called into HR the first week on a job because I witnessed a situation between two people when I was getting trained. And they called me in as the witness. I was like, I've been here 72 hours. I don't want to be a part of this.
Can I tell you also something that happened to me? This is even, you want to talk about freaking you out? I got a call from somebody saying a call from HR is coming about something you, like you said, may have witnessed. I said, what did I witness? And I never got the call.
I know you're so glad you didn't get that call.
I know, but think about how much that freaks you out, though.
Yeah, that's awful.
Like, can you imagine if Nuno, our producer, said, hey, Cece, expect a call from HR about something you witnessed. And you're like, I don't even know what I witnessed. And the call never came. That literally freaked me out for weeks.
I would be sitting there trying to get my story straight. As to how I didn't have anything to do with nor any knowledge of whatever they're asking me about.
I wasn't there
or I don't remember that or I don't recall. Like, whatever. All of the things. I'm not answering no questions from HR. I'm treating it like I'm in a police station going in the interrogating room. I ain't answering no questions.
I'm your alibi. I'm like, we were prepping for the show.
It's not even about me. I still ain't answering no questions. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
I plead the fifth.
I don't know nothing about nothing. I plead the fifth.
I'm Robert Sala.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5.
I plead the fifth.
The person who tipped me off didn't even know what was happening. He's like, I got a call that you're going to get a call. I said, about what? He's like, I don't know. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.